forget to hit that subscribe button.
Brian asks, when you add leaves as mulch, doesn't its decomposition take away the nitrogen from the soil? That is not true. The nitrogen is not being taken away from the leaves. It is
nitrogen is not, yeah, it's not robbing the soil of nitrogen when you mix the leaves.
No. So what leaves are carbon-based, so if you're thinking about carbon
going down
versus,
to the element, what is the table of elements?
That, right.
Yeah.
So it's just going to enhance your soil. It's also, when you add that natural things like leaves to your soil, it's also going to attract more worms, and the worms will help aerate your soil, mix the nutrients around, things like that. So, no, it's not gonna take nitrogen away from the soil. Now, if your soil is poor in nitrogen and you add leaves and you're thinking it's going to boost the nitrogen, that's not the case. You would want to mix in something like coffee grounds, which will help increase the nitrogen in your soil.
Right, and you can mix the leaves in. You can shred the leaves to get them to break down quicker, or what we do is just layer them on top of the soil and use them as a mulch, and as they break down, you remove the leaves off. You know, we have 6 to 8 inches of leaves. You remove them back. There's worms underneath there, actually on soil level, under the with the leaves above it. So they will come. Desiree asks, one of my neighbors feeds their birds, and my other neighbor complains that the birds eat off the flowers of their cucumbers. Is this true? Do the birds eat flowers? If true, how can we prevent this? I want to live peacefully with my neighbors here in Zone 7B, New York City.
Well, that sounds like a neighbor battle. Birds will eat the flowers off your cucumbers. A lot of times the reason why they're eating the flowers off your cucumbers is because they are hungry. So if the birds like your garden for some reason, they start eating the flowers off your cucumbers, you might want to give them some seed or whatever type of bird you have. Some birds, as we learned, don't eat seed. They eat worms or fruit or like dried raisins or whatnot. So you want to feed the birds, and that will help prevent that. You can also, when the plant is flowering, get some type of bird netting, and the plant will flower successfully without the birds eating it.
Yeah, our recommendation, give the birds something else to eat rather than the flowers on the plant. Can you plant an indeterminate tomato in a container with success, Holly? And if so, do you have varieties in which you would recommend? I've grown tomatoes in the past. I have grown Brandywines, Old German, Romas, as well as grape varieties. Thank you for any advice you can provide.
Yeah, you certainly can. You can grow an indeterminate tomato. You just want to make sure that tomatoes will have roots that grow up to about 12 inches, especially the indeterminate varieties.
Well, and the thing is, if the plant is needing nutrients, they're going to venture out. You're going to have a giant root system. If it's in a container with good compost and potting mix and fertilizer, the root system is going to be very, very tiny because it doesn't need to search for nutrients.
Right. So that's exactly it. So you have to make sure that it's going to be nutrient-rich. So, yeah, you can definitely grow it in a container, but you just want to make sure you're putting a nice, good potting soil in there. There's different types of varieties of indeterminate tomatoes. We find, what is it, the black crims?
Black crims, mainly cherry varieties are indeterminate varieties on those. So you just want to, a 10-gallon grow bag or a 5-gallon bucket. That's your two realms. Grow bags are measured differently than gallons and buckets. Let's see here. I'm going to begin getting my canning supplies for the year. Why canning salt versus other salts when canning?
So pickling salt, canning salt, or sometimes it's called preserving salt, is pure granulated salt. It's the pure sodium chloride. It does not contain anti-caking ingredients like table salt does. So that can turn your pickling liquid salty. So that's why you want to use that pure canning salt.
And the discoloration, does it affect the flavor or not? It can, but it's not. It's recommended for the.
I don't know. I just know that you want to use the pickling or the canning salt.
All right. Becca asks, can you please explain what hardening off your plants mean? Absolutely. At this time of year, many of us are transitioning our plants from indoor growing systems to outdoor in the garden. You need to harden them off, which means to get them acclimated to the outdoor ambient temperature and the intensity of the sunlight. The intensity of the sunlight is much greater than the grow lights or even the windowsill you have your plants setting on. plant. Typically, if you buy your plants at a garden center like Bluemails, you will not have to harden them off. Those have been hardened off already. But if you are transitioning from indoor plants that you started or bought and brought indoors to keep them warm until you're ready to take them outside, you're going to have to acclimate them, harden them off. So here's how you do this. It may be more difficult for others, but I'm going to give you the general rule, and you can kind of tweak it the best way it works for you. You bring your plants out day one, put them in shade, assuming that the ambient temperature is at a correct level. It's, you know, 60s, 70s. It's not 30 or 35 degrees. Okay, we got to be smart about this. Put them in the shade for an hour or two. Let them kind of adapt to the ambient temperature. Bring them inside. You can fidget the time. You can look this up online, see what works best for you. The next day, you take them out for, instead of 1 hour, maybe 2.5 hours, and gradually progress throughout the week over a 7 to 10 day period. And by the end of that 7 to 10 day period, you're going to have the plants acclimated to the outdoor temperature and the sunlight, where you gradually move them out of the shade into full sun. If you just put them out in the garden, one, the soil temperature is going to be much too cold for them at that initial time. By acclimating them, they'll adjust to the soil temperature compared to what they were inside. And then putting them in direct sunlight, you're going to get sun scald, they're going to turn white, they're going to get sunburn, and they're going to die. So you want to harden your plants off correctly. And there's a number of ways in which to do it, but for the plant's sake, you've put all this time and effort and time into it. Harden them off correctly so you can not kill them whenever it's time to go in the garden. Let's talk about peppers for a minute. Last year, I had black spots on my peppers, and it seemed to spread down the row. What could this be? Well, could be a number of things here. Several fungal diseases can cause black spots and even yellow spots on your red peppers. Now, all peppers will eventually change to a bright color. A green pepper is an unripened pepper. So if you allow it to sit on the vine long enough, it will change a red, a yellow color and other colors there. Some are more bred to create that pigmentation quicker on the vine than just a traditional green pepper. So let's establish that. Anthracnose is one of the most common fungal diseases. This disease causes black or brown spots, even lesions on the fruit. The lesions are often sunken in and may have a pale pink to orange center in them. So it's a very unpleasant looking thing. Wet rot or conifer blight is another cause of black growth, similar, and also can wrinkle the fruit as well as the leaves. The plants can become stunted. They can even die from this. In most cases, there is no known cure in order to prevent this. Infected with the fungal disease, there are some ways to minimize the risk. Now, when I say try to avoid overhead watering, that seems counterintuitive because it rains, that type of thing. But if you can prevent some of that on your end, that's going to help avoid spreading the disease if you have it. Now, if you have the disease or you've had something similar to what I've just described here, move your plants to a different location. Try to keep them out of that spot for 2 or 3 years. If at all possible, if you're in a container and this occurs, get rid of that soil, put fresh compost, fresh potting mix in there, and go that route. That will greatly reduce the possibility of enduring the problems. And if you have diseases or fungal problems on the actual fruit, it's really best not to eat it, whether it's bean rust on the beans, whether it's this problem with the peppers, that type of thing. Blossom end rot on tomatoes, just make your own judgment call, but I wouldn't recommend eating anything of that nature that has a problem with it.
Thank you for checking out the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show. For more, go to the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com. For full-length in-studio video and podcast replay of Season 1. Season 2 underway and added weekly. Tweet us at TWVG Show or hashtag TWVG to be part of the program.